outdo each other in Islamophobia, which has France's Muslims expecting the state-sponsored racism to be even worse over the next 4 months. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Today's great tip, what are the secrets of reminding oneself of death when it comes to the enhancement and the optimization of our servitude to Allah, our ubudiyyah? So, dear listeners, one of the most important things that a person who wants to increase and enhance their ubudiyyah is to constantly remind oneself of course, various things. Reminders that really enhance, optimize, increase, and strengthen and purify our ubudiyyah, our obedience and servitude to Allah. Reminders, of course, which do not stem from my humble self, but these are reminders which stem from the words of Allah in the Holy Quran and via the words of the Messenger of Allah and his holy progeny, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. These are words of advice and suggestions that we should remind ourselves in a constant manner, in order to continuously be able to traverse this spiritual journey of ubudiyyah and this spiritual journey of the obedience to Allah. So, for example, we find that the Quran is also known as a reminder. In the Quran itself, it has at times referred to messengers as a reminder, or it has referred to the messengers giving reminders. So we very humbly put forth to remind ourselves of death, and of course death not being the last door, but being one of the first doors towards our eternal life. And again, reminding ourselves that we will leave a lot of these, if not all of these material things, behind in this temporary world. We will not take them with us to our grave. The only thing that we will take with us in our journey towards our Lord, our nourishing Lord, of course, is our actions, whether they are good or they are bad. Of course, then the next step after death is the Day of Judgment, and how it is on this day that these actions which we have taken from this world are going to be scaled and measured and taken account of in the grand court of justice of the Almighty Allah. Of course, knowing that the things that we do and the things that we don't do will be taken into account, this really does change one's way of thinking, and it changes one's outlook on life. Just as the idea of death also changes one's outlook on life.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is farstoday.com.
أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير، أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
يا Dear listeners of the program Foresight, my name is Muhammad. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Munajatul Muridin, which means the whispered prayer of the devotees.
نهاري دونكم ليل وليلي كله
O God, I ask you to place me among those of them who have the fullest share from you, the highest station with you, the most plentiful portion of your love, and the most excellent allotment of your knowledge. For my aspiration has been cut off from everything but you, and my desire has turned toward you alone. You are my object, none other. To you alone belongs my walking and my sleeplessness. Meeting you is the gladness of my eye, joining you the wish of my soul. Toward you is my yearning, in love for you my passionate longing, and inclining toward you my fervent craving. Your good pleasure is the aim I seek. Vision of you is my need. Your neighborhood my request. Nearness to you, the utmost object of my asking. In whispered prayer to you, I find my repose and my ease.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. Now, in continuation to what we were talking about, which of course were these certain reminders that we have been suggested and these certain reminders that we have been advised, which help us to enhance and optimize our ubudiyya. And the last reminder, dear friends, that we wanted to talk about on the show is this reality, this truth, this realization that the world is a temporary residing place and that the hereafter is in actuality the residing place which is eternal. In the Holy Quran it says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will remain there forever. Now this خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا can be in the, God forbid, in the fires of hell, or this خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, this remain and abide forever, can be in the gardens of paradise, inshallah. Now, the more we realize that this world is temporary, then we begin to detach our hearts and our soul and our love from this world. Why would you love something which will deteriorate and finish and diminish and extinguish? But on the other hand, we have a love, an eternal love, or we have the hereafter, for example, which is eternal. Why would we not work towards something which will last forever? And why would we not love Allah, who will last forever, who is forever, who is the first and the last? And of course, a love that will not betray us, as the love of the dunya will betray us, the love of the materialistic world will betray us. These very simple but I believe life-changing reminders, and if we remind ourselves constantly about these things, again, death, the day of judgment, and this reality that the world is temporary and the hereafter is eternal, these reminders will help us to increase, enhance, and optimize our servitude and obedience to Allah. It will increase and enhance our ubudiyya.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Sometimes when I drive in Southern California, you have to think about death all the time.
I think about death very often. I'm from Compton. My uncle told me that I'd be dead before I was 18.
Take advantage of the time that you have now, because it's going to happen to every person, guaranteed. It's happened to everyone before us. There's nothing special about us now. Men have died forever. I wasn't really scared of dying until I got married and had a daughter. It wasn't a concern, you know. Then I had a baby and I said, well, what would happen to this baby if I die? Who will be taking care of it? Who's going to teach it?
I do think about death. But because of my kids, it's such an... Before, it was not an unpleasant thought. I was content with it. I was comfortable with it. So my own mortality is not the issue. My own mortality is not the issue. I'm not comfortable with the concept of my own death because of my children. I think it's not even honest for me to say I can't think about it. I think it's more honest to say I do think about it and I push it away. I push the thoughts away. I shouldn't do that.
These bodies, as amazing as they are, is the most amazing things they can do. And Allah said that we're the best of His all creation. They are just at a heartbeat away from death. And so, I mean, I'm also a lifeguard, so I do some occasionally life-threatening things, you know, going down, diving to rescue people in water I can't see in front of my face.
I read more about death and the hereafter, and it scares me.
I've always thought about death and how, you know, my family would react and the loved ones around me, and I would never want them, like, although it's death comes to everybody, but I'd never want to see the people around me, like, become sad and suffer or mourn over my death, but I'd want to enter death in a peaceful way.
There is a dua, Allahumma ja'al khayra ayyamina yawma liqa'ik. Oh Allah, make the best days of my life is the day I meet Allah. All I hope for is I pass away from this life with Allah's satisfaction, with Allah's rida, and I believe I am prepared for it, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best day in my life is the day I depart from this life.
How would I want to go? I want to go with my last prayer being my purest, my last action being my best, and to give all my wealth and my life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how great the consequences, which is ultimately my life.
Okay, but it might be gruesome. I want to be tortured, you know? More. Like, not torture, but like a painful death, because you have a painful death that takes away from your afterlife, any punishment you get in the afterlife.
They talk about those people that when they're dying, sometimes they smile because they see, like, jinnah, like they see the angels. I know I want to go like that. I know I want, if anyone's watching me, I know I want them to tell my parents or whoever's still around, like, she was smiling when she died. So.
I ask Allah that if He want to take, you know, when the time comes, that I will be healthy. In a way, meaning is I'm not dependent on anyone in my family. And to take me when I am maximizing my potential in terms of the service that I can do to the Muslim community overall.
And in preparing for death, I try my best to prepare myself to be pleased and excited to meet my Lord, as opposed to wanting to ask the angel of death to let me stay one more day.
I was thinking about that on my way here. I was thinking about that, and I prayed that I ask Allah to not just let me die in a state that He is pleased with, but in a state that He would love me to die in.
What I want to die is with the words La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the last things that come out of my mouth.
I would love to go while I'm praying. But it can happen anytime. So that's why I would like to remember Allah at all times.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ya fuadi da'asi wallah fawidil amra lillahi lillah kul wa nadi.
In the limelight.
2021 was a tragic year for Yemenis, millions of whom are struggling with poverty, hunger, and severe restrictions on their freedom of movement due to the US-backed, Saudi-led invasion of the country. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jessica Corbett, journalist. This article is published under the heading UN Envoy Warns Threat to Civilian Lives is Increasing in Yemen. Stay tuned for more. A United Nations special envoy raised alarm about the safety of civilians in war-torn Yemen, given escalating violence, including airstrikes by the US-backed Saudi-led coalition. The escalation in recent weeks is among the worst we have seen in Yemen for years, and the threat to civilian lives is increasing, said Hans Grudenberg, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres' special envoy for Yemen, in a statement. Airstrikes on Sana'a have resulted in loss of civilian lives and damaged civilian infrastructure and residential areas, he added. The continued offensive on the Ma'arib and the continued missile attacks on the governorate are also resulting in civilian casualties, damage to civilian objects, and mass displacement. The UN Development Programme projected last month that the death toll for the war in Yemen, including victims of indirect causes such as disease and hunger, will reach 377,000 by the end of this year, and an estimated 70% of those killed would be under the age of 5. Grudenberg also expressed concern that any targeting of civilians and civilian objects, as well as indiscriminate attacks by any actor, is a flagrant violation of international humanitarian law and must stop immediately. The parties must also preserve the civilian character of public infrastructure. The special envoy stressed that he is ready to work with the parties to find immediate solutions to de-escalate the violence, address urgent humanitarian needs, and enable a political process aimed at sustainably and comprehensively ending the conflict in Yemen. UN officials in recent years have called Yemen the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Grudenberg highlighted the conditions long faced by people across the country. Grudenberg set 2021 ended with a tragic year for Yemenis, millions of whom are struggling with poverty, hunger, and severe restrictions on their freedom of movement. In this regard, I reiterate the United Nations call for opening of Sana'a Airport and for removing obstacles hindering Yemenis' ability to move within or between governorates inside Yemen. A bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers earlier this month urged President Joe Biden to exert diplomatic pressure to end the Saudi-led coalition's ongoing closure of the airport. The continued restriction of commercial and humanitarian flights into the airport has exacerbated the ongoing crisis in Yemen and had a devastating impact on millions of innocent Yemenis, the lawmakers wrote, pointing out that restrictions on ports of entry are a form of collective punishment in violation of international and U.S. law. And that's however the Biden administration has come under fire recently for approving a $650 million arms sales to Saudi Arabia, which the United States Senate recently declined to block, sparking fierce criticism of the upper chamber's members and over the world across the political spectrum. Senator Bernie Sanders, who along with two Republicans led a resolution to block the transfer, said at the time that as the Saudi government continues to wage its devastating war in Yemen and repress its own people, we should not be rewarding them with more arms sales.
Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is the teacher. A radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
حاج قاسم صد بار در معرض شهادت قرار گرفته بود در راه خدا در راه انجام وظیفه در راه
حاج قاسم had been exposed to martyrdom repeatedly but in performing his duty and fighting for the cause
خدا اینو میخوام که خدا هر چه سعی در منو به اون ملحق بکنه و به او اگه بنویسم این را فهمم
I ask Allah wholeheartedly to give me the chance of martyrdom and let me join my dear martyred friends.
Tears were shed from the eyes of all of the freedom-seeking people, not only in Iran, but across the globe. Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni, in Iran, Iraq.
Today's a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani. Dear listeners, one of the most influential individuals who has ever lived on earth and has played a major role in bringing peace to West Asia is, without a doubt, the great General Haj Qasim Soleimani. General Shahid Qasim Soleimani was born on March 11, 1957, in a village near the city of Kerman. When he turned 18, he was employed in the water administration of Kerman. During the Islamic Revolution of Iran, he became familiar with a cleric from Mashhad by the name of Reza Kamyab, and this is how he began his revolutionary activities. His brother Sohrab Soleimani has said that he was one of the main organizers of rallies and strikes in Kerman at the time of the revolution. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani became a member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, aka the IRGC, about the same time that the Iran-Iraq War erupted. General Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani trained several battalions in Kerman and sent them to the war fronts. Shahid Qasim Soleimani also was the head of the IRGC in West Azerbaijan province for some time. And now, Ayatollah Khamenei talks about the personality of Shahid Qasim Soleimani.
Haj Qasim had been exposed to martyrdom repeatedly, but in performing his duty and fighting for the cause of Allah, he had no fear of anyone or anything. His struggle was a great struggle, and God made his martyrdom a great martyrdom. This was a significant blessing for Haji Qasim, who was deserving of such a glorious martyrdom. Haji Qasim had to be martyred in such a manner.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid General Qasim Soleimani, who was the commander of the Quds Force of the IRGC before his martyrdom, played a crucial role during the Iranian sacred defense. In the year 1360 in the Iranian calendar, Mohsen Rezai, who was the then commander of the IRGC, appointed him as the commander of Division 41 of Thar Allah. At that time, Shahid Soleimani was only 23 years old. Therefore, some individuals were against such an appointment. Nevertheless, Haj Qasim Soleimani was one of the brave commanders during the Wal Fajr 8, Karbala 4, and Karbala 5 military operations. The Karbala 5 operation was one of the most important military operations of Iran during the Iran-Iraq War that brought about the instability of the political and military status of the Iraqi army of Saddam and stabilized the situation in favor of the Iranian forces. Before Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani became the commander of the IRGC's Quds Force, he would confront the drug smugglers of Iran-Afghanistan borders. Ultimately, Shahid Soleimani was appointed as the commander of the Quds Force by Ayatollah Khamenei in 1997. This was a new page in the history of the resistance movement. This is the voice of Shahid Qasim Soleimani, along with the English translation of his words.
I ask Allah wholeheartedly to give me the chance of martyrdom and let me join my dear martyred friends. If I've got the chance to write to Allah, the first thing I request is the blessing of martyrdom and shahada.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Dear listeners, the great, legendary Iranian IRGC commander of the Quds Force, Shahid Qasem Soleimani, who is better known among his supporters as Haj Qasem Soleimani, played a crucial role in maintaining stability in West Asia and fighting the Western, Zionist, and Saudi-backed Takfiri terrorists such as ISIS and al-Nusra in Iraq and Syria. Of course, the scope of the activities of the Quds Force under the leadership of Shahid Qasem Soleimani was not limited to these countries. In fact, the Quds Force, which is actually a unit in the IRGC that specializes in unconventional warfare and military intelligence operations, has exerted a great deal of influence all over the world since the time it was established. More importantly, it laid the foundations for the formation of Hezbollah and other jihadi resistance organizations such as the ones in Palestine, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Pakistan, and Afghanistan, to name a few. Under the leadership of this honorable martyr, Takfiri elements such as Daesh, aka ISIS, and other terrorist organizations were annihilated. General Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3, 2020 in Baghdad, Iraq, in a U.S. drone strike. May Allah bless him and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
On Friday morning, we woke up with the news of the martyrdom of one of the bravest men of our nation, General Qasem Soleimani, who was martyred in a U.S. drone attack, along with his companion, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. General Soleimani was a hero for every Iranian. He was not only the commander of the army of Quds, he was truly the commander of the hearts. Tears were shed from the eyes of all of the freedom-seeking people, not only in Iran, but across the globe. Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni, in Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Yemen, and basically all over the world of Islam, and even in the Western countries, including the United States, expressed their grief and sorrow for this great loss. But surely, the blood of this martyr will bring together the hearts of the nations, and inshallah, together, we will be able to achieve great victories. The enemies of Islam have always tried to cause disunity and conflict between Islamic countries and Islamic sects. But the blissful blood of General Soleimani and his companions only brought about the unity and closeness of the hearts and nations. A martyr is like the heart of history. With his martyrdom, new blood is pumped into the veins of this heart, and it will go on beating till another martyr is sacrificed in the way of Islam. We all know that, according to the Holy Quran, those slain in the way of Allah remain alive and receive sustenance with their Lord. So surely, General Soleimani is still with us, and his Holy Spirit will come to our aid in our war against oppression and tyranny.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghpan has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
That's why we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmagh for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them.
As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. 5 horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech Republic, in the Czech capital, to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now, the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes for members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage. But to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yin Liang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders.
IRIB English Radio.